Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the first chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning with the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." For she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Through your truth, your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. You're probably thinking, this poor seminary professor, he must have gotten so far behind in his correcting that he didn't bother to look at the calendar. Granted, we just endured the longest white Christmas that most of us can imagine. But why are we talking about the Annunciation of Christ's birth? Something seems wrong. The answer is that the early church believed that when the angel Gabriel announced the birth of the Christ child, he was conceived in his mother's womb. Today, March 25th, is exactly 9 months before Christmas and 275 shopping days until Christmas, if you're counting. But this, not the last thing, but the other thing, is why we are celebrating the feast of the Annunciation of our Lord today. We then consider this theme, the mysteries of March. First, we consider the mystery of the fall. Now, the early church didn't just believe that the Annunciation took place on March 25th. They also believed that Adam fell into sin and Christ was crucified today as well. Now, the climax of God's holy creation was man. For the triune God formed him from the dust of the earth, breathed life into him, and created him in the image and likeness of God. And yet man's desire to be free of God not only turned him into a beast, but turned the entire creation against him. All that the devil had to do was tell Adam and Eve they could become gods if only they ate the forbidden fruit. For by eating the forbidden fruit, they hoped to become so independent of God that they no longer had to rely upon him. They sought autonomy from God. And isn't that what we're still questing for today? For the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for the Lord knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So many today still live for the minute. They're willing to trade it all just for a chance to cheat death, only to suffer a fate far worse. For Christ asks, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul. And what shall a man give in return for his soul? Our forefather Adam lived for the minute, but the devil offered him a whole lot more than pleasure, power, and glory. The devil offered him a chance to become a god in his own right. But what was really being offered, and what was the cost? In actuality, Adam was deceived, forfeiting not only his immortal soul, but the salvation of all of his descendants, you and me alike. For St. Paul explains, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sins. Before we get angry with Adam, we must all ask ourselves, who's the bigger fool? Adam sold his soul to become a god. And yet we sell our soul out all the time for nothing more than a few carnal pleasures. We sell our soul to the devil whenever we forsake Christian humility and exact our self-righteous indignation on another. We offer up our souls on a platter whenever we forget our duty to our fellow men in order to indulge our irresponsibility and laziness. Even though God became man to give us a second chance, we would sooner risk life and limb for a selfie than to spend one bitter hour with the Lord in some hypocritical church. If the angel Gabriel had asked you or me to be the father or the mother of Christ, to be his guardian, would we have even looked up above our phones before we muttered hard pass? Sad to say, it's true. Indeed, we are really fools in compared to Adam. And yet, what does it really matter in the end? For as we learned from Moses, for dust we are, and to dust we shall return. We now reflect on the mystery of the incarnation, or Christ coming in, taking our flesh. Even though creation was becoming undone, God still had a plan. Already in the Garden of Eden, God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This plan of recreation began when the angel Gabriel announced the birth of the Christ child to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the new Eve. For by a sheer act of undeserved grace, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin and conceived the God-man Christ Jesus in her womb. This is why the church throughout all ages has joined with Saint Elizabeth in calling Mary the mother or the bearer of God, or in the Greek, the Theotokos, the one who gave birth to Jesus Christ, our Lord and God and Savior. For when Mary visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth, by inspiration, exclaimed, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? To which Mary responded, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, and behold, now all generations shall call me blessed. To be sure, Mary did not generate Christ's divinity, but if what she bore in her womb were not both God and man, then our salvation would not have been accomplished, and we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. Therefore, we rightly call her blessed, as the scriptures themselves do, and we rightly honor her as the mother of our Lord. But notice, we do not worship her, and we do not adore her. For God chose her by his grace alone, and she accepted the task of bearing her Savior and your Savior, and my Savior, in humble faith. But how does the incarnation bring about the restoration of creation? St. Paul explains, God set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This all began when Christ took upon himself our humanity to recreate it from the inside out. For St. Paul says, consequently, just as a result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. You see, he cloaked himself in our humanity to make one soul-sufficient sacrifice for all sins that would destroy the devil as well. Just imagine it. God the Father, like a great fisherman, casts his own son out on a line in order to destroy the devil once and for all. The bait that he used was Jesus Christ himself. For the divinity was the hook that tore the devil in two, and his humanity was the worm that drew the devil in. But when the devil tried to devour him, Christ ripped the devil in two and brought life and immortality back to life. 3 days later, Christ broke forth from the tomb, proclaiming the salvation of all had been accomplished. Not only that, but all that the first Adam lost in the fall, this second Adam, Jesus Christ, regained and more. For you see, now that Christ has recreated in justification, recreated our humanity, you and me are also bearers of God as well. For St. Peter states, Christ has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may also become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Long ago, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was highly graced, highly favored, because the Lord had chosen to be born of her. Brothers and sisters, today I tell you that you too are highly graced, highly favored, for you too today have become the bearers of God. Therefore, when we feel that the whole world is about to devour us, we know, as St. Paul says, we are more than conquerors through Christ, who dwells within each one of us, who grows within each one of us whenever we make use of that word and sacrament, which transforms us and makes us like unto Christ every day that we make use of it. Go now in peace. Go now in the shalom, the peace that makes us whole again. Bear the marks of Christ in all that you say and do. See Christ in everyone that you serve and everyone that you greet. Amen. May rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray now the soaring words of the Lutheran Bishop Thomas Kingo. Break forth my soul for joy and say, what wealth has come to me this day. My Savior dwells within me now. How blessed am I, how good art thou. Amen.